Lord Jesus, God, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for what you've already done today. We could just say we've had church, but Lord, teach us what we need to know to grow in wisdom, to grow in stature, to grow in truth. I don't do sick well. I don't know about you guys. I'm not a good patient. I'm like, Donna will say, what can I do? You know, can I, you know, like, she'll text me at work. I'm like, I'm not trying to be rude. I don't want to talk. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to go to the doctor. No, you know I don't do that. So that's got nothing to do with it. So anyway, sometimes when you're sick, when you've been sick for 2 or 3 days, you ever notice they can start grating at your faith? I've prayed, I've rebuked, I've bound in Jesus' name. Now, God, why am I still sick? Now, I know none of y'all are like that. But when I get there, it's like, God, I don't really, have you ever been to where like, God, I don't really feel something. I don't feel your presence here on this. Have you ever felt like that? And, you know, it all comes down to, it's not about feeling there, young lady. No. I meant that in a good one. Did I wake you up? It's not about feelings, is it? I love her. She's awesome. It's not about feelings, though, is it? Who was talking about faith? You were talking about faith, brother. Faith comes by, and that's so run into the dirt, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? But, I mean, you can just say it, and it just gets to be like a commercial. No, really, you know what I mean? It can become just like a thing you say when it's time to say it. But it's a true statement. Faith comes by hearing. And that's why I think it's really important not only to read the word of God, but to read it out loud or follow with somebody else reading it out loud. I think there's more power when you're following it with your eyes and you're hearing it with your ears. But what saves you? Grace and faith, right? Faith in what Jesus did, not faith in what I did, not faith in my faith, but faith in what he did. And there was a lot of times, I'm sure, there was a time when Jesus didn't even feel God's presence, wasn't there? What did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? And his body was screaming with pain and everything inside of him was going, God's not even here. Father, don't even care. Everything's screaming that out. But of course, he never left Jesus and he never leaves us because he says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. Everybody else can kick you around. Everybody else can kick you down. But God will never do that. So, what did we preach last week? God, if y'all don't remember that, my gosh, Holly put it all over Facebook. Me driving a tractor in here. That was awesome. I wanted to do it again today, but there wasn't no keys in the desk, so I wasn't supposed to. That was so cool. What did I preach on? The parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow. So guess what? I'm the sower this morning. And I'm sowing good seed because I'm sowing the word of God to you. Now you're the soil. You got to decide what you're going to do with it, right? And so God, I pray every word that comes forth will be from you. And everything that's doubtful, well, I know a lot of scripture, so I know a lot of good words going to go out. And I talked about implements, right? Talked about hooking implements up to that three-point hitch back there that goes up and down. When you let it down, the plows go into the ground and start turning over the earth, right? And there's a scripture that says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So that's a powerful promise, isn't it? He comes to break up your fallow ground. What happens when a plow goes into the ground? It turns it over, don't it? It turns it over. And so when your heart gets broken, it's like your heart being turned over. Sometimes it takes hard things in your life to turn that soil over to make you pliable and ready to receive the Word of God, right? We go, why did this have to happen? It was for you. It was for your good, you know? How many of y'all can look back and go, that thing that happened that I thought was the worst thing that could ever happen to me in life, it led to eternal life. Can anybody, I don't know, did anybody experience that when they come to Jesus? I came to Jesus, everything was easy. You know, I can honestly say that I never had to do that, but I know so many people, it wasn't until they were hit between the eyes that they looked up and they said, there's got to be something, there's got to be somebody that can fix this situation. S-O-W. So the first implement that I talked about last week was the plow was prevailing corporate prayer. Prevailing corporate prayer. And Danny, you were talking about revival and you were talking about repentance. And repentance is turning things over to God, right? It's turning things over and say, I'm broke, I can't fix it. And these altars should not be a strange place to y'all, you know? This should not be an intimidation to you. But I know what Danny was saying. He's saying lots of times it's like, what will they think of me if I go up to the altar? Well, like, what kind of sin are you in? You're always at the altar. Remember Justin? He was always at the altar. I remember, boy, pride just kills you, man. You know that? Pride will destroy you and your relationship that God wants to have with you. You know, when we went to Brownsville, I remember it was really cool. Y'all remember this? We was in line, and they called out and said, if you're a senior pastor, look, come here. You can get out of the line, and you can go in and get a seat. I'm like, yeah, I hate it, guys. I love you. I'm here with you, but yes, I'll get front row seats. That will be good. Come on, Donna. I really hated it, too. I really wanted to take everybody, but I couldn't. So I denied you and left. But you get these tags saying, pastor, right? Senior pastor. And so here you are, and Steve Hill's, rah, 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 rah. If you got sin in your life, if you're away from God, if you're doing things Jesus would never do, if you're watching things on TV, God is like, whoa, come. And your heart's going like this. But you got a senior pastor badge on. I can't have sin in my life. It's like, forget it. I'm going up there with my badge on. Don't matter. It don't matter. It's so good to get clean before God. And if somebody thinks ill of you, that's their problem. So, praise the Lord. I want to read you part of a parable. Luke 18:1. My breath's gone. Help me, Jesus. I got new eyes in Jesus' name. This is called the parable of the persistent widow. And Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Lose heart. What would you think that means? I looked it up. It's to fail, to be weary, to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out, exhausted. That's pretty complete definition, isn't it? He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And I looked up some scripture in Galatians. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in what? Due season. What's due season? It's time, when it's just the right time. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And see, that's the same word that was used there. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. If y'all can do this sitting down, you're okay. Okay, if not, you need to stand up. Let's make a proclamation here, okay? Do y'all ever pray scripture? Do you ever put your name in there? Do you ever pray it and claim it? And that's not name it and claim it. That's just repeating what God said, that I want what you've promised me, God. Okay, let's say this. I am not deceived.
I am not deceived.
I'm not mocking God.
I'm not mocking God.
Whatever I sow,
whatever I sow,
I will reap. I will not sow to the flesh.
I will sow to the Spirit.
And I will reap everlasting life.
And
I will not grow weary while doing good.
For in due season,
I will reap. And I will not lose heart. That's who you are. That's who you are. So we got an example. We got examples of the... We got an example from the Messiah, don't we? Go to Hebrews 12. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And Buster, what you said earlier is think about Jesus on the cross. Picture Jesus on the cross. See Jesus on the cross. We need to do that every now and then, because we forget what he went through. We forget the pain he suffered. We forget the abuse he took by people, the rejection. He experienced everything that man can experience. Every sin against him happened, right? But yet, he endured. And I don't think we really grasp that he could have called down 30,000 angels and come off the cross, all his wounds healed, everybody wiped out. Just wipe them all out, God. Let's start over. He did that once, didn't he? You know, I was thinking this morning, we got a next door neighbor. Well, we don't have nobody next door to our house, but there's a neighbor across the road, and he used to be a pastor, Baptist pastor, and they're real good people, the ones we CPR'd her husband that time. Well, she came out the other day. I was taking the garbage can in, and she said, "Yeah, come here. I got to show you something." I said, "Well, I left Jack back at the house. I know you're not supposed to do that, but he was sleeping. So I got to hurry up and get back." I said, "What do you need? Don't y'all tell Child Protection. Don't tell Kelly that. I get a hard whipping." No, I was okay. He was asleep in the crib with plastic over his head. No. That's on the World Wide Web. Lord, forgive me. Anyway, she said, We went to see the ark. She said, it is incredible. I got to go see the ark, man. You think about looking at this aircraft carrier-sized boat that was really built and getting to go in it and tour it. I'm like, yeah, I need to see the wonders of God made flesh. So I think it's incredible. Right down the road from us, we can go experience the truth of how God saved the planet once. So he did wipe everybody out once, didn't he? All but eight, and probably only one was righteous. Probably. We don't know. But they got grafted in, just like Lot's wife got grafted in. It didn't last long. Asphalt. Man. Well, if Holly was here, it probably would be. So he said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy set before Jesus? I think the number one is to please the Father. To please the Father by doing the Father's will. I think we, point to yourself, we are the joy. He looked and he seen there's churches all over the world right now that are meeting, and they're meeting under the banner of Jesus. We don't all agree together, but that's the reason hopefully we come together whatever day of the week we come together. So he looked at you and he looked at me and he said, oh, I'm redeeming them. I think he did it because he wanted to fill up the banqueting table, you know. He wanted that wedding banquet to be full. He wanted to knock out religion. He didn't want religion to rule anymore. He wanted faith to rule and joy to rule and peace to rule and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And fruits. What is the joy set before you? You know, if you don't have joy set before you, it's hard to finish a race if you don't know that you're going to get to. Did any of y'all ever run when you was in school or anything, or run? Did anybody ever jog or? Hold your hand up if you ever ran. I mean distance race, not, I mean the sprints are one thing, but let's say a 440 or an 880 or an in long distance. What's it like? I mean, I used to, believe it or not, I used to run three times a week up and down them hills where I live. And sometimes you had to play mind games to finish. It's like I knew when I got to, there was, coming from my house, you went down this big hill and you went all the way to that double concrete bridges. And then you had to turn around right there, and you went up this hill for, you know, what it's like to go up a hill after you're halfway through the race. It's like, if I can just make it up to New Cut Road, I'm going to be close. If I can just make it up to that speed limit sign, I'm going to be close. The joy set before me, the hill was going to be gone, really. And then it was like another mile probably, but you know, the joy set before me was number one. The race was going to be over. I quit gasping. I'd get me a drink of water. I wasn't a great runner. It was torture for me. Some people love it and they just smile and they're happy. It wasn't like that for me. It was a race against myself. The joy set before me was to finish. And when I'd finish, it'd be like, man, I feel so good. But you had to finish. Does that make sense? The joy that was set before me. Well, we're in a race, aren't we? We're in a race. The Bible compares it to a race. It compares it to the army. It compares it to farmers. Jesus did parables on all those things. Well, I think Paul said, I beat my body into submission, pretty much. I crucify my flesh to finish this race. Well, now let's see. Where was I at? Help me. Where was I at? I was in Hebrews. Excuse me. This thing's got this bad. It's the only thing about preaching now, one of these things. You touch the bottom of the screen, it goes zoop. It's all gone. And you look like an idiot. Let's see. Well, I believe you. Okay. Yes. Go to Romans 8. In fact, you don't have to go there. You know this scripture. 8, 1 and 2. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now that's the joy it's set before you. You don't have to walk in the power of sin and death anymore. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? You don't look forward to that. It's already been done, hasn't it? But sometimes you don't consider what he did. Sometimes you got to look at what you were. And they say, well, that's condemnation. No. Look at what God delivered you from sometimes. You forget who you were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago. You forget who you were sometimes, brother. You were a pain. But God delivered you. I love this man. Anybody that came to youth group and came back out to church later, I got real admiration for him. Matthew 25:23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And what's it say then? Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What's it going to be like, Elizabeth? Well done, you good and faithful servant. Get up. Anybody been watching the Olympics, any? I don't watch it much, but wow. Donna said it kind of makes you proud of your country to see them winning all this stuff. I'm like, yes, boy, if they would win the spiritual race like that, wouldn't it be awesome? But praise God, that's what it's like. You're on the podium. Well done, you good and faithful servant. There's going to be a celebration. When you got saved, Landon, what happened? It said all the angels. How many angels are in heaven? Lord, I don't know. Millions? Millions? Oh, Landon got saved. Joy, joy, joy to the world. Landon is saved, you know? It had to be, and we don't even look at it. It's like two ladies. Now, you go, well, they just prayed a prayer. They didn't really get real. I don't know what their heart is, but I got to believe that the angels in heaven rejoiced here Wednesday. Yes, and why aren't we rejoicing with them? We got to rejoice, man. That's our only joy in life to, what's the greatest joy you can know as a Christian? To lead somebody else there. You know, Ed, I go with John Wesley. Now, see, we got, you know, you keep track of things. You do your 501(c) and all that stuff you got to do. John Wesley, I think at the end of the year, ask his pastors, if I'm wrong, tell me. He didn't say, how big is your church? How many buildings did you build? How many pews do you have? He said, how many people did you lead to Jesus? How many people came into the kingdom of God this year? That's what you'll be judged on. Like, wow, forgive me, Jesus. But that's what it's all about, and there can be no condemnation in that because that's got to be our joy, don't it? More joy. Y'all want more joy? Y'all stand up just a second. This is by faith, okay? This is really a spiritual song I want to sing with you. You know what it is, Elizabeth? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. So happy, so very happy. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. And there's going to be somebody that don't like it. How many of y'all know everybody's not going to like it when you walk with Jesus? Above all, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on attack. Ow! Set on attack. Set on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can set on attack. Ow! Happy! So very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy. Joy! And I'm so happy. Joy! Got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy. So very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Did we run out of stuff today? I was getting ready to give me one. Y'all can sit down. I hope that blessed you as much as it did me. Thank you for that finish line anointing, Jesus. Okay, Revelation 21. I do want y'all to read this one. Who's got a really good reading, Kristen? Come here and read this for me with passion. If you don't get passionate about this, Revelation 21:1. I'll let you read it off the big screen. No, this okay. Big, this little big screen.
All right, 1:1.
Yes.
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death."
Praise the Lord. What's that? Do you stay there? What's that promise of? Heaven. We don't talk about heaven much, do we? We should talk about heaven. It's going to be glorious, isn't it? What's that? I guarantee you, we'll, in a thousand-year millennium, we'll rule the nations, right? We'll be governors and whatever our title is. You want to be a builder? Well, I'm working on it. Let me tell you about the building, man. Start reading again, Revelation 4, chapter 4. Talks about the throne room of heaven.
"After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Keep going.
Start reading that.
Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal.
Now wait a minute. Do y'all have a clue how big that is? It's almost 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles.